On this episode of Still Loading, Frostbite is full of razor blades. Hello all, and welcome back to this episode of Still Loading. So, I had a couple ideas lined up for the next couple of episodes, and I was in the middle of researching them and even writing a script for some. I know, strange, I normally just kind of ramble. But then this article fell into my lap. I was at work and one of my coworkers asked me if I had heard about what was going on with BioWare and EA, and if I had heard about the recent Kotaku article on it. I had not. So that same day I went home and dove headfirst into it. EA for years now has not had the best relationship with consumers. A lot of their games published are frequently met with backlash. Personally, I speculate they are only still in business because they hold the rights to the large sports game franchises, you know, like Madden, NHL, FIFA, and so on. But in any case, they have also bought up numerous developers after they had a little bit of success to bring them under their umbrella. And in the past decade or so, this usually leads to the developer either shutting down, i.e. Visceral Software in the Dead Space series, or just having a severe drop in quality, which is kind of where BioWare comes in. After the success BioWare had had with Knights of the Old Republic, Mass Effect, Dragon Age, and more, they were bought out by EA, and this is where our story begins. This is the story of EA and BioWare and Anthem. Before I begin, I would like to give a huge shout out to the guy who I have never really read any of his stuff before, and nor does he really have any idea who I am, but this shout out goes to Jason Schreier. All the information you will hear on today's episode is from his article on Kotaku. I'll include a link in the description. So to begin, let's start out with just talking about Anthem. What is it? I personally have not played it myself, but the hype machine for this game was intense for a number of years. From what we were all promised, the game was supposed to be EA's version of Destiny. A jetpack-jumping, open-world-exploring, MMO-ing, third-person shooter. A game that spent 7 years in development, but was only really in production for 18 months. And that's just scratching the surface. It was originally called Beyond, but was changed to Anthem by EA due to trademark costs. And by looking at it at face value, you might think, well, that's EA for you, screwing up another great idea. Well, don't get me wrong. EA still did screw this game up, but not quite in the way you may think. Probably the biggest setback to the game came from within BioWare itself. The BioWare upper management could never really make a decision on the direction of the game, and all those woes started early in the development process. Casey Hudson, the man who was the lead director for the Mass Effect trilogy, left the company within the first couple months of production. In fact, what he worked on wasn't really production at all. You couldn't even call it pre-production. He helped solidify the concept of the game. That way, the team, after he left, could move into pre-production and be able to continue working on the game without losing a step. However, his departure would become a hole that was too large to fill. The game proceeded to be stuck in development hell for years. Story leads would change constantly, and with that, constantly changing the vision of what the game would be. In early 2015, David Gator would move over to Anthem and work on the story there. He was one of the veteran writers for the original Dragon Age game, which you would think would make it a smooth transition into his new role. Gator was directed to take the story in a more sci-fi fantasy approach, which suited his writing style, but was not particularly popular with the development team. One of the developers interviewed in the article stated, "There was a lot of resistance from the team who just didn't want to see a sci-fi Dragon Age, I guess." Gator commented in response to this that, "Maybe they assumed the idea for it came from me? I'm not sure, but comments like, 'It's very Dragon Age,' kept coming up regarding any of the work me or my team did, and not in a complimentary manner. There was a lot of people who wanted a say over Anthem's story and kept articulating a desire to do something different without really being clear on what that was outside of it just not being anything BioWare had done before, which was apparently a bad thing. From my perspective, it was rather frustrating." Gator would end up leaving BioWare in early 2016, 3 full years before the game was eventually released, and he was not the only writer to leave production prior to the game being released. But Story wasn't the only hiccup the team had to deal with as a result of the hole in upper management. Without a main creative lead, no ideas were ever solidified, and since no ideas could be communicated to the team, no one knew exactly what kind of game they were working on. Was it an MMO? Was it a shooter? It also didn't help the engine they were working on to make the game was not ideal for what Anthem was trying to be. A few years back, EA decided that all developers for them must use the Frostbite engine, the engine famously created by the developer DICE Studios, the makers of the Battlefield series. The engine was built for FPS games. BioWare's first game using that engine was Dragon Age Inquisition, and even back then, that's where the troubles for the Story developer started. Frostbite was not built for the games that BioWare would want to make, so a lot of the technologies used in their games on the Frostbite engine had to be created from scratch. They had to start from the ground up, which normally would not be a problem. But there are deadlines to be met and money to be made, so this put a large amount of stress on the development team. They ran into the same problem with Mass Effect Andromeda, and of course, now with Anthem. In order to fix any issues with the engine, they would often have to contact what was basically a help desk for the Frostbite engine. They would literally have to contact Frostbite support, which consisted of DICE employees, the studio which made the engine. But they were not the only ones needing to contact them. All of EA's developers would go through this service team to help them make their games using the Frostbite engine, and the help was prioritized based on the expected income for the game. EA Sports titles, for example, earn a lot more money than any RPG, so their questions would pretty much get pushed down to the bottom of the pile. So what could be fixed in a week or so on a normal engine would take months just waiting for them to hear back from the Frostbite team. One developer described the experience as, "It's hard enough to make a game. It's really hard to make a game where you have to fight your own tool set all the time." In early 2017, Mass Effect Andromeda launched, and around that time, BioWare brought a demo of the game thus far to the EA exec they reported to, Patrick Soderlund. After playing it, it was reported that he thought what they had so far was completely unacceptable. With all the technical issues they were experiencing, Soderlund flew out a number of BioWare's high-level staff to Sweden and meet with the developers at DICE to iron out some of the issues the team was facing with the Frostbite engine. After that trip began a six-week crunch time to get another demo together for Soderlund, and up until that point, the flying mechanic in the game had been pulled out of it entirely, but they needed to impress the exec, and it was implemented again. 6 weeks later, Soderlund traveled to the BioWare offices in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and was just blown away by the improved demo he saw. And this demo was the basis for the E3 2017 gameplay trailer, the one that blew us all away. In fact, when that demo was released in 2017, that was the first time the main team at BioWare actually saw how the game would play. Just a little over a year before its then projected release date of fall of 2018, the team finally knew what they were making, and at the time of that trailer, barely a single mission had been implemented at all. It wasn't until Mark Darrow was brought on board as the executive producer in the summer of 2017 that decisions were finally made on what to do and how to proceed with the game's development. What ensued was the most productive portion of the entire development of Anthem. But with that productivity loomed the hard release date of fall 2018, which actually was eventually pushed back to what we know now of as the first quarter of 2019. This added pressure and crunch time would prove too much for many BioWare employees. Many employees would have to take doctor-mandated vacations to regain their mental health. The sad truth was, this wasn't really news for existing BioWare employees. In fact, this happened so frequently during development for previous BioWare games, employees started referring to them as stress casualties. Someone would break down from the stress and be gone for 1 to 3 months, and sometimes they just wouldn't even come back. One developer stated, "I've never heard of people needing to take time off because they were so stressed out, but then that kind of spread like wildfire throughout the team." But even with all that stress, somehow the games usually came out good in the end. The BioWare magic, as they called it, always got games to the finish line just when they needed. And while Anthem improved exponentially in the final months of development, it still didn't feel quite the same. The stress was different, and in the end, despite all odds, Anthem was released on February 15th, 2019. By all accounts, the development cycle of this game was a mess, and that's just putting it mildly. I sincerely urge you to go read Jason's full article on Kotaku, because it includes much more details than I really was able to include on this episode. What surprised me the most about this article is how little EA had to do with the complete foul-up of this. From the start, the upper management at BioWare created a recipe for failure by not being decisive and being afraid to make a choice. The indecisiveness combined with the exploitation of their employees ruined this game. I honestly went into this article with the opinion, oh, EA, here they go again, and I was fully ready to rip them a new one. After all, this was the company that started out by actually crediting developers in their games, and they were the first ones to really do that. Because, believe it or not, games used to not credit their makers. But that was EA back in the 80s. The EA we know now seems far from that. But what shocks me is how BioWare practically had 7 years but didn't really start building the game till over 5 years in. I honestly don't blame EA for this. They sure didn't help, I mean, with the Frost Engine and whatnot, but they had 7 years. EA had deadlines. I'm not sure where I side on this. And one last point before I kind of wrap up. I know this is a little bit of a shorter episode, but the thing that I really wanted to stress with this is game developers need to shape up. This is the second story in recent history that has been broken where a game studio was exposed for how they treat their employees. It really saddens me to think that while now they are at least credited, the people who work the hardest still aren't getting treated much better than how they did at the start of the video game industry. Prior to releasing the article, Jason actually sent a bullet-pointed summary to EA and BioWare just to kind of let them know what was being said in this article. He didn't receive any comment from them. However, minutes after publication of the article, EA and BioWare put up a blog in an apparent response. Overall, it doesn't really say too much, but it sort of calls out Jason for calling them out, almost painting him as a traitor for turning against them. I don't really know what to make of their post, but I will say this. BioWare, if you would have treated your employees better, you wouldn't have seen this article. It would have never existed. If you want to make good games, you have to treat your employees well first, and the rest will follow. So that wraps up this week's episode of Still Loading. If you like this episode and want to support the show, please subscribe and consider giving me a rating and review on whichever podcatching app you use. You can also support the show by checking out Seat Giant. Seat Giant is a sponsor of the Podbeard Network, which I am a part of. On Seat Giant, you can buy tickets for your favorite bands, shows, sporting events, and more. I've personally used them and got a great deal on my tickets to see my local hockey team. So go to SeatGiant.com or SeatGiant.ca for you Canadians. Use the promo code PODBEARD at checkout and you'll save even more. And before I get out of here, I'd like to give some quick shout-outs. First off, shout-out to everyone on the PODBEARD Network. Shout-out to my friend Erica over at the Apex and the Abyss. My buddies over at the No Geeks Allowed podcast. That's K-N-O-W, No Geeks Allowed. My friend also named Josh over at Firespin Gaming on YouTube. And, of course, the guys over at the Drinks with Larry podcast. Go check all of them out. They all are great shows. And if you want to see more of what is on the PODBEARD Network, you can actually check out PODBEARDNetwork.com. Though it's currently down, it will be up in a couple weeks. Oh, and how could I even forget? Go check out my website, stillloadingpodcast.com. I've just recently started the blog up, and it's not just me writing, so you won't be hearing just my regular old boring voice. At least in writing, you won't hear my regular old boring voice. A couple friends of mine have agreed to write. My friend Andy, who is an actual author, he has released a book on Amazon called The Unknown Hunt. And my buddy Vin, who has been on the podcast before for when I covered the DuckTales game a while back. So go check it out. At the time of this being released, there is actually going to be 3 posts, one the original one for me, and an article from each of my friends. So go check it out, stillloadingpodcast.com. And that should wrap this all up. So thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time.